Lord, we come, Lord, into your tabernacle, Lord, and we have worshipped you, Lord. We have praised you, Lord, and we have exalted your name, Lord. And now we come, Lord, to hear from you, Lord. We come, Lord, to hear what you have to say, Lord, to your people, Lord, not from flesh, not from man, but from God. We pray, Lord, for a fresh anointing, Lord, upon this meeting. I pray, Lord, for a fresh anointing upon your word. I pray, Lord, that you will be high and lifted up, that you will be glorified, Lord, your people will be well fed, and I will be hid away, Lord, out of the road. Lord, we look to you, Lord. We worship you and we praise you, Lord. And we ask for your help, Lord, as we go forward now, Lord, to hear what you have to say to your people. We ask it, Lord, in your wonderful name, Lord. Amen. As I was preparing for today, seeking the Lord for today, one verse came to mind, and then it just went from there. Just everything just exploded on the page as I started to write. And I went to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. And it says, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." And I started to think about today, Remembrance Sunday. I started to think about the cenotaphs and the war memorials. I started to think about those who gave everything that we could sit in this tabernacle this morning and worship God. But then I thought about the land that we live in. And I thought about the church. And I thought about the Word of God. And there's landmarks in that as well. And there's landmarks in the church that are trying to be done away with. And they must not and cannot be done away with. And they never will be. God's word is from everlasting to everlasting. And I thought about landmark. What is a landmark? What is the meaning of a landmark? It's a prominent or conspicuous object on land that serves as a guide, a monument or a building, an object or a feature of a landscape. It's striking. You can't miss it. It's there and you'll see it. That's what it is. Today, there are 23,000 locations in over 150 countries and territories around the world, remembering the two world wars. Half of the more than 1.7 million service personnel of both world wars were commemorated have no known grave. It says on their gravestones, "Only known to God." Only known to God. God knows them. They might be missing, but they're not missing to God. God knows who they are. God knows where they are. God knows what happened to them. The monuments have no known name and are commemorated and memorials to the missing. There are estimated to be 100,000 monuments in the UK to the war dead of World War One and World War Two. In World War One, we saw a death tally of 37 million between military and civilians. 37 million between military and civilians. In World War Two, we saw 60 million dead between military and civilians, all in the cause of freedom and fighting for freedom against the onslaught of Nazi Germany and their allies. So I say today, walk your children past the cenotaphs, walk your children past the war memorials, and tell them and teach them in the schools of the sacrifice that was given, that you could sit in your seat this morning under this canvas with your Bible open. Tell them and remind them of the sacrifice that was given. And there's some new arrivals to the United Kingdom. There's some new arrivals to the United Kingdom which need educated in such matters themselves. dare anybody touch a cenotaph? Dare anybody deface a war memorial in these aisles? You can be put to prison for putting on a Facebook post, but a cenotaph is for a game. I say, leave the cenotaphs alone. I say, educate yourself of why the cenotaph and why that memorial is there in the first place. Some new arrivals could do with some education. It is good to remember. It is good to remember the sacrifice and the freedoms won by God. You see, it was God that won the wars. The men and the women stepped out and gave their all. The teenagers. But it was God who was at their side. And it was God who brought the victory for these isles against Nazi Germany and their allies and our enemies. Won by God, liberty in these isles and across Europe. In World War I, a total of 65 million troops from around the world fought in the war. This involved the British Army, which was made up of around 4 million men from England, 558,000 men from Scotland, 273,000 men from Wales, and we will remember the 134,000 men from Ireland. We will remember them. Some would have you not to mention them, but we'll remember them here. They gave their lives. They fought just the same. We will remember the 134,000 from Ireland. India, Canada, Australia, South Africa, New Zealand, and other colonies fought also. In World War II, more than 5 million men fought from the British Isles, also helped by the United States, the Soviet Union, China, and France. We will remember them. We remember the sacrifice and the service of all personnel who have and are fighting for our freedoms in these isles and around the world. Christ Encounters Tabernacle will remember them. And of course, we remember also those who gave their lives in this province of ours to protect us. We will remember them all. And we thank God for them. These are the landmarks. These are the war memorials. And these are the cenotaphs across these isles where they're set in stone. They're set not to be moved. Landmarks where you can walk generation to generation to that cenotaph, to that war memorial, and you can tell them of the sacrifice of these people and what it was for. Do not remove the landmarks of the isles. Do not remove the cenotaphs, the war memorials, and keep remembering those who give their all for our freedoms. Who give their all for our freedoms. But there's landmarks in the scriptures as well. There's landmarks in the scriptures. In Genesis chapter 28, let's go to it. I'm going to take my time to go through these because they're very, very important. In Genesis chapter 28, 10 to 22, listen to what it says. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, he took of the stones and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed a dream. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder sat up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. That's important. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou last, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. That's important. The dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Am I reading that right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, the seed of the dust of the earth, and spread to the north, the south, the east, and to the west. That's what God said. That's what he said in the scripture. It's there, plain sight for all to see. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. And that word dreadful means fear, awe, and wonder. He was in fear, awe, and wonder of God. He says, how dreadful is this place. And the church as a whole throughout these aisles has lost the fear, the awe, and the wonder of God. And that is a problem. That is a problem. Because whenever you enter his tabernacle, when you sense his presence, and when you really understand who he is and what he has done, the fear and the awe and the wonder of God should be driven right into your very soul, right into your innards. I am Jehovah God. I am Yahweh. I am Elohim. And that is with who we have to do. And these aisles have lost the awe and the wonder of God. But that comes from the pulpits. That comes from the lily-livered pastors who are afraid to tell the truth. I'll preach the truth as long as Christ gives me breath in my lungs. I'll preach to one, if it's only one who likes it. I would rather be faithful to God than faithful to flesh. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar. There it is. There's your memorial. He took his stone and he set it up as a pillar. And it goes on. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of the city was called Luz at the first. Bethel means house of El or house of God. He is in the house of God. He realizes of who he has to do. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on. John chapter 1 and verse 51 says this. This is connected with Genesis. Connected with Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 51. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, I am the mediator between God and man. I am the Christ. I will be manifest in the flesh. And I am your mediator. That's what he's saying. Genesis 28 and 12. John 1 and 51, you can link them. Christ showing that he is the only way to the Father. He is the mediator. He is the God-man manifest in the flesh. And the angels do his will. Genesis 28 and 13. Genesis 28 and 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. Abraham is a covenant name. Abraham is a covenant name. And he says in verse 13, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, and the lamb whereon thou last to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And in Genesis 17 and verse 7, Genesis 17 and verse 7, you can link it. It says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. The covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, for all to see. And when Jacob dreamed the dream, what did he do? He set a landmark. He set a stone. And he anointed it. And he said, here I met with the Lord. Remember the landmarks. Remember the landmarks. Remember the landmarks of the land. But remember the landmarks of God. There's landmarks in the scriptures. What shall we do? Shall we remove the landmarks? Never. God's word will always stand, and the landmarks will stand with it, regardless of who likes it and who doesn't. God is God. He will do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. He is Elohim. He is God. Those verses in Genesis 17 and 7, pointing to a covenant-keeping God, pointing to a faithful God. When you're not faithful, and when I'm not faithful, he's faithful. He's faithful. I let him down many a time. Many a time. But he never changes. From everlasting to everlasting. He never changes. He is God. There's no shadow of turning with him like there is with me and you. No shadow of turning. In Genesis 28 and 16, and I thought about this. 28 and 16. And he said, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Are you sitting here this morning? Do you just go to church and clock your yard? I'll go to Christ Encounters Tabernacle this morning. I'll show my face. And we're glad to see you. But are you here to clock a card? Or do you feel the presence of God in his tabernacle and you know it not? You know it not. Because your mind's full of your job. Your mind's full of the next car. The mind's full of the money. The mind's full of the dinner. The mind's full of Christmas. And God is in the tabernacle and you know it not. He's passing by and you know it not. You're missing him. Because your mind's full of worldly things in the tabernacle of God. There's a challenge. There's a challenge. That's a challenge for me. how I come through them doors, how I sit in that seat, how I prepare myself before I even enter those doors. Because you're entering God's tabernacle. You're entering holy ground. And that's a challenge. Is God here? He's here. You can feel his presence. You can sense his presence. But do you know it? Or is your mind somewhere else? Is your mind and your heart somewhere else before a holy God? Where's your heart and where's your mind before a holy God? In Joshua chapter 4, and I'm going to take my time to do this because this is important. This spoke to me and this is very important. And I want to make sure that we grasp this. And I'm going to read the whole chapter. I'm going to read it all. In Joshua chapter 4, Israel's memorial to God. Let's read what it says. And it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood firm. Where the priests' feet stood firm. These were Levitical priests. They were charged with the spiritual aspect of the work. And it said that the priests' feet stood firm in the Jordan. They went into it. That is so important. Stand firm in the work. Step into your Jordan and plant your feet and wait on God. So important. And command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. There it is again. Here we have 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared. 12 men who were prepared. Very important. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, who God told him to choose, of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark, so the Lord's presence is with them. Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan. Pass over before God. He's with you. And go into the midst of the Jordan. 12 men who were chosen, told by God. Joshua was told to choose men, stones. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man you a stone upon his shoulders. The shoulder means, and the shoulder speaks of responsibility. The shoulder speaks of responsibility and it speaks of power. So Joshua ordered by God. You see, they're at the Jordan and there's no way through the Jordan. But where there seems no way, God made a way. When you're at your dead end, when you're lost, when you're right there, when you're down, when your face is in the gutter and you've nowhere to go and there's no help for you or anybody, then the Lord reaches down and says, whenever you can't make a way, I'll make a way. But you'll have to wait. You'll have to wait. When you're at your dead end, there's no hope. There's nothing happening. What do? Where do we go? We're lost. Then he steps in and he says, I will now step in and I'll make a way. Because then I will be exalted and I will be hand lifted up and I will be glorified. And you can sit there and you can shut up because you've got nothing to do with it. That's what it means. That's what God's doing. And God makes a way. God made a way when it seemed there was no way. And he cleared the Jordan. And they stepped into it. And their feet were firm and steadfast. But they had to put the shoulder to the plough. They had to take the responsibility. Don't worry about the power, because it's God's power. But you need to lift your stone. You need to lift your stone. You need to take the weight. You need to step in faith, and take up your stone upon your shoulders and take some responsibility. But leave the rest to God, because he can do things you can't. And he will. He'll do things we never dreamed of. It never entered our heads. When you're at your dead end, brother, you're at a dead end this morning. You're at a dead end this morning, sister. And you feel you're beat and you've nowhere to go. God's going to step in and sort it out. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I can say that on the authority of God's word. I will never leave thee, brother. I will never leave thee, sister. And I will never forsake thee. So whenever you're at your dead end, and you're depressed and you're down, and your face is in your pillow, and your face is in the gutter, and there's no way out, you're right where he wants you. You're in the refiner's fire. And he might keep you there for a while as well. But eventually he'll reach in and he'll say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And what do we do when we're sitting in the refiner's fire? It's a hard thing to do. Do you know what I try to do? I try to be quiet. And listen. Because there's something that I have to lose. Aye, that's right. There's something you have to lose. In the refiner's fire. Sit and listen. And try to be silent and listen for the word of God. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, there it is. There's your memorial and there's your landmark, but this one's in the scriptures. But the same applies for the land. Leave the cenotaphs and the war memorials alone. Leave them alone. They're there for a reason. They're there to tell the next generation that God delivered us. That God won the battle. They're set. They're there. Let them be. Have some respect. Have some respect. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? What meaneth these stones? What's this? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off, and not by you or me. You can't make that way. It's only God can do that. That the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and it passed over Jordan. The Lord made a way when there seems no way. And the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Let it be a memorial forever. It's a memorial forever. Remove not the ancient landmarks that thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmarks which God has set. So the generations to come will ask, what meaneth these stones? This is when God delivered us. This is when God moved. So from generation to generation, he can be glorified and he can be exalted. in verse 9 of the chapter. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day, and they are, because I saw them. I googled it. You can get everything on Google. And the stones are still there, and I just sat in my seat, and I was like this, praising and worshipping. The stones are still there. Israel passed over the Jordan. Each man from each tribe took a stone, and he walked through, and he set the stone. The stones are still there. The stones are still there. Let generation to generation know what the landmarks are and what happened and the victories that God gave us. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded. Stand your ground till it's finished. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day. What does the number 10 mean in scripture? It means authority of God. And it means completeness. And it means order. And it means divine perfection. You see, everything that God does is perfect. There's no imperfections with God. You want something sorted out in the right way, you bring it to God. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. The Joshua pitch in Gilgal. The word Gilgal in the Hebrew means a circle of stones. Gilgal. See, God says, you're at a dead end here. And you're beat. And you've no way out. But if you turn to me, and you're faithful to me, I'll make a way when there seems no way. And you'll pass through it. But you have to take the weight and be faithful and step into it. And I know where you're going anyway. You're going to Gilgal. Gilgal means the place of circle of stones. And they put down a circle of stones. You're sitting here this morning in this tabernacle. God knows where you are. You're here this morning and you're wondering, does he really know where I am? He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you are. He knows where you've been. He knows where you are now. And he knows where you're going to. Gilgal. The circle of stones. What a God. What a Savior. He makes a way when there seems no way. Remove not the ancient landmarks of the isles. And remove not the ancient landmarks of the scriptures. So from generation to generation, what meaneth these stones? Your forefathers gave their lives for these isles. In the scriptures, what meaneth these stones? It was here where Jacob met with the Lord. It was here where God brought Israel through the Jordan. Remove not the ancient landmarks. Because they're glory unto God. That's really why they want to remove them. Anything to do with God, they want it removed. I say, leave them where they are. Because without God, what hope do we have? Turn back to God, United Kingdom. You want to prosper. And everything you do, turn back to God. It's time for the United Kingdom to turn back to God. I believe even the people are sick. They're sick, sore and tired. I believe even the people who aren't even saved and just have some sort of religion, they're sick and they're tired and they're sore. And they need help. The help that they need is Jehovah. The help that they need is Elohim, our God and our Savior, our Redeemer and our great High Priest. That's what the United Kingdom needs to heal the land. in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. We'll go from 2 to 3 first of all. 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting to read at verse 2. And it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath Jeharim that the time was long. The time's long, isn't it? When God's not in the land and God has turned away from a once great, great Britain, the time feels dreary and the time feels long. It's time to come back to the Lord. It's time to come back to the Lord. Like the prodigal. That the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Is there not a lament in the land? England, Scotland, Wales and Ireland, is there not a lament? I think there is. And everybody's running about, and how do we sort this out, and what do we do? And there's a lament in the land. And the only thing to do now, you've done everything you can. You've trusted in flesh. The lament is, come back to God and he will heal your land. Come back to God and he will heal your land. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and put away the strange gods and the Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Prepare your heart, Glenn, unto the Lord. Not flesh, not your job, not your money, not yourself. Prepare your heart unto the Lord. And put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. In verse 7. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together in Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And the children of Israel heard it. They were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said, Samuel, cease not to cry. Cease not to cry, Samuel, unto the Lord. And my message for CET is cease not to cry unto the Lord. This was one man. This was Samuel. But if the whole church prepared their hearts and cried unto the Lord, what would he do? If you prepared your heart, and I prepared my heart, and we cried, and we wept for the land, what would he do? If he'd done this with one man, what would he do with 300? And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried. Samuel cried a prepared heart unto God, and he's crying. Where's the weeping in the prayer meetings anymore? Some people don't even get to the prayer meetings. Sunday morning and that's it. Where's the weeping in the prayer meetings? Where's the weeping in the closet? We're in a state. There is a lament in the land. God's people need to weep at the altar. You need to weep on the porch for the land. It's a mess. There should be a lament. And the children of Israel said, Samuel, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near into battle against Israel, but the Lord thundered. The Lord delivered them with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them. He confused them. They are now confused. God is stepping in. God is fighting. And they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came unto Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone. Samuel took a stone. There it is again. A scriptural landmark. Do away with the landmarks. Do away with the cenotaphs. Do away with the war memorials. Do away with the stones in the scripture. Nonsense. They're there to remind these eyes how God delivered us from our enemies. That's why they're there. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Ebenezer in the Hebrew means stone of help. The rock, Christ Jesus, is our Ebenezer. I'm going to have to stop. I'll do part two tonight. Remove not the ancient landmarks that thy fathers have set. Take your children to the ancient landmarks in these isles and tell them of the forefathers who gave everything for your freedoms. Take them to the scriptures and show them how God moved, how God delivered Israel, and they set up ancient landmarks so generation to generation could pass by and see what God has done. Denise, could you let the children? God bless you all this morning. God's wonderful, you know. He's wonderful. God has delivered us, brothers and sisters. God has kept you and sustained you. God has looked after you and upheld you. And he will carry you into the new heaven and the new earth to ever be with him. I will remember my forefathers who gave their lives for these isles. I will remember God's word. I will remember the ancient landmarks of Israel. I will remember my Savior, my God and my King. And my advice to the United Kingdom is to do the same. And we will prosper again. And he will be glorified. The team, please come forward. God bless you all.